Welcome back to another segment of Tiara Tuesdays. It is your host and favorite scholar, Tiara, and I'm so excited to have you guys all back today. That was just a DMX Rough Riders anthem song I was playing. Unfortunately, I'm sure you guys all heard the news by now. Rapper and actor DMX was taken off life support Thursday night. He had a heart attack April 2nd and was immediately hospitalized and then put on life support until his family decided that they had suffered enough. And they decided that last Thursday. With this DMX news, I wonder your thoughts on life support. Like, how long is too long to wait to pull the plug? You know, like, because it's expensive. Every day you leave someone on life support, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. Not sure on the exact amount. If you do know, please message me and tell me. I love to learn as well. But yeah, how long do you think is too long to wait to pull the plug? Like, is the week, was that long enough? How long should we wait? Message me now. Let's talk about it on a future segment. Go to Apple Podcasts right now. Apple Podcasts. Type in Tiara L. Christopher. Click on my icon. Stroll down past my episodes and click rate and review and comment right on there and tell me, like, your thoughts on life support. Let's collaborate. Let's have a whole segment about it. I'm interested in your thoughts. Today in history, that is April 13th, 1964, Sidney Poitier became the first black. And I say black because he wasn't African-American, because I normally like to say African-American. I don't like saying black. It's like colorism. But he was actually black because he was not African-American. He was Bahamian American, which basically means he was from the Bahamas and he was American as well. Sidney Poitier became the first black man to win an Oscar. He won this for Best Actor in his film portrayal of Lilies in the Field. This was huge for the black film industry, shifting the racial barriers which plagued African Americans for so long. I love to talk about people who have opened doors and have paved the way for change. Today on TR Tuesdays, we're going to continue with our Stripper Chronicles, but with a twist. So I get so many Instagram DMs about what you guys think about my show. And while I love it, I do want you guys to put all those thoughts on Apple Podcasts. So I've been getting a lot of questions and funny comments. I decided to pick out the ones either that I get asked the most or that I'll think will make for an interesting segment. So today we're going to talk about all these Instagram comments in further detail. Until then, we are going to take a quick break, and I will be right back after this short DMX song. But I want you to take this time to go to Apple Podcasts as instructed and leave me a comment, please. But these bitches fall from a nigga. But these bitches fall from a nigga. Meat bitches, the street bitches, slash, Cocoa Puff, sweet bitches, make you wanna eat bitches, but not me. Yeah, niggas eat off the plate all you want, but not me. I fucks with these hoes from a distance. The instant they start to catch feelings, I start to steal in their shit, then I'm out just like a thief in the night. I sink my teeth in the bite. That's hella funny. My sister was just telling me, like, hey, you ever listen to DMX lyrics? Remember that one song, What These Bitches Want From a Nigga? He straight said that I start to steal from these bitches after they go to sleep. After I fuck them, I become a thief in the night. That's hella funny, sister. I actually just realized that he said that just now. Welcome back, y'all, to Tiara Tuesdays. I hope you enjoyed that song break with DMX. I hope you took that time to go to Apple Podcasts and rate me. Or I hope you're in my DM right now letting me know your thoughts on life support. All right, let's get into these Instagram messages because they are really funny. Somebody said, you mad funny, yo. I'm taking it. This person is from New York. Much love to the East Coast. Thank you so much for all the support. When I was out there saying hella this and hella that, people looking at me like, hella? What's hella? Because, you know, they say mad for everything. Yo, she mad fine. She mad cute. So thank you guys for thinking that I'm mad funny. I'm really just myself. That's the funny part about it all. Ooh, okay, so diving in here. So I did that last segment with Key from Talk to Me Tuesdays. I hope you enjoyed that. If you haven't listened to that segment, go ahead and listen to that right now. And, you know, during the segment, me and Key got to talking about plastic surgery. I have gotten a variety of messages about my thoughts on plastic surgery. So I'm going to go ahead and read the one I think is most pertinent to all the messages I received about that. Somebody said, you talked about plastic surgery, which is becoming more normalized in today's society. Yes, it is. What are your thoughts on this? Okay, so this blends with another comment question, actually, that I'm going to discuss. So just quick second, listener. But I will say I am pro plastic surgery, if people didn't get that, because I have received a lot of negative comments about my thoughts on plastic surgery. I'm pro plastic surgery, but only if it's something that you've always wanted. I'm not plastic surgery if you are getting it for a man, if you're getting it for social media, if you're trying to up your likes, you know, for that reason, I'm anti plastic surgery. Okay, but let's get into this next comment. We can bring it all together. Somebody said, that's crazy. You moved to Vegas for school, but got caught up in stripping. Did you ever feel like you were conforming? Okay, so I feel like the conforming and the plastic surgery goes hand in hand. But because this is a two-part comment and question, I'm going to answer it in the order of getting caught up as a student with stripping. Okay, so at the time, first off, because I don't really feel like I got caught up with stripping, I want to say, but at the time when I started dancing and the money started coming in, I felt like I no longer needed school to obtain that wealth. Y'all got to remember, I say this all the time, that I was a product of the foster care environment. So I often had to steal my own food. I often had to panhandle in front of Popeyes, churches, various places just to eat food, just to get dinner. So for me, I was using education as a tool to create wealth for myself. So then I discovered stripping and I was like, oh, I skipped a step basically, you know, and I had just graduated with my Associates of Arts in Communication. So I'm like, well, you know, no one in my family has graduated with an AA. My mama hasn't even graduated from high school. Shh, don't tell her. It's coming out in the book, but don't tell her. So yeah, I just feel like I was using it for wealth. As far as conforming, I feel like social media and these music videos make it seem like stripping is a job that's heavily desired, right? But I don't necessarily think that's true. I feel like, yes, in the stripping industry, there is some conformity. Like I said, I think this goes hand in hand with plastic surgery. I feel like a lot of people conform to actually being the stripper that the media personifies strippers as. And they get plastic surgery enhancements such as boobs jobs, rhinoplasties. They get their ass done, fat transfers, all that kind of stuff. So I think that is like a part of conforming. I didn't partake in that exactly. But honestly, like I got my teeth done. And if it even wasn't for my car accident, which is why I got my my mouth done, I feel like I would have wanted to do that. First off, when you talk to somebody and they smile, teeth shows wealth, right? So if somebody has great teeth, that means they take pride. They're very clean. You know, they're all about presentation, right? So when people would conform and get plastic surgery such as boob jobs and things like that, I feel like you're conforming into what the sex entertainment industry wants you to look like versus like getting your teeth done, which will actually show wealth long term and can help you, you know, beyond stripping. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. But I do feel like there is a lot of objectifying yourself in stripping. But I mean, it's the sex industry. So what do you expect? But that is a great question. I really like the way y'all think. I need to get you on a collab. So I'm not going to put you on blast, put your Instagram name out there. But reach out to me. Let me know what's up. Okay. Somebody said, was it hard to go to school and strip? Okay, so that's going to be a big part question. So I'm going to take another break and I'm going to let you know how hard it was or how hard it wasn't when I come back. Take this time to go to Apple Podcasts and message your girl on Instagram. That is TR Christopher on Instagram, TRL Christopher on Apple Podcasts. The L is my middle name, Laje name. Yes, what these strippers want from a nigga. Hey, yes, I said the N-word. This is an explicit. It's my show, so take it or leave it. Okay, so we are back. Welcome back to TR Tuesdays. I love it. All right, so we were just getting in for all of you guys who may be skipping through. We were just getting into a question that someone posed about how hard it was for me to go to school and to be a strip when I decided to go back to school ultimately. Okay, so ultimately, you know, just a little background information. I had been stripping for about 3 years, and then I got into a relationship with someone, let's not even relive this person's name, but in this respect, they were good because they were like, you just dance all night and sleep all day. And I'm like, yeah, this is my life, you know. And then you like party on the strip, you know, on the strip with your friends on the weekends. I'm like, yeah, this is my life. I'm young and popping. And they were like, you don't want more from life, you know? And I'm like, well, I got my AA in communication. You know, I was originally going to school for communication so I could be a lawyer. I didn't want to be trapped in only taking a law degree. I thought communication would help expand my job opportunity. And so this person was like, yeah, dude, you should totally go back to school because, you know, you're kind of just wasting your life. Fast forward to me starting to strip and dance. Yes, it was very hard. Because at first, when I first decided to go back to school, I went to school every day, I think, Monday through Friday. Like, I had one class. Yeah, every day. I had one class on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then I had three classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it was hard for me to, at first, create a good schedule, like a school schedule, because I was taking these classes that I needed. But that first semester back, these classes were every day. And so that really conflicted with me as a dancer. I would have to, like, you know, choose stripping over school because stripping was paying my bills, you know? So yeah, that's kind of, it was hard with the scheduling. So once I kind of got, you know, the hang of things, I'd say I was like, all right, I'm only going to go to school Monday and Wednesday, or I'm only going to go to school Tuesday and Thursday. And a lot of my classes that I needed to take would fall on Tuesday and Thursday, which really sucked because I really preferred going to school only on Monday and Wednesday so I could have the rest of the week and weekend to dance, you know. So I became, you know, depending on the semester, I'd become a weekend dancer. I would only work on the weekdays. You know, I'd work day shift, or I'd only work in the morning. So it just kind of like depends, honestly, on the schedule. But long story short, yes, it was hard to balance stripping and going to school. And a lot of it, too, is like, you know, trying to balance your free time. But I'm very, like, productive, I would say. I make good use to my time. At least I definitely did as a student. Not sure these days in the COVID. So I would even bring my homework to work with me, like, say, because I don't know, you know, some nights would be slow. So if it would be a slow night, I'm like, I don't want to waste tonight. I could be, you know, annotating this article that I was supposed to read for rhetorical theory, you know, or something like that. So I'd always make good use of my time to bring in my homework with me. And I had dancers that would be like, I mean, I will never forget this one girl was like, because my stripper name was Callie. And somebody asked me about that too. Like, oh, you never even told us your stripper name. Like, you kind of mentioned it, but you kind of like ran right over it. I get excited, guys, and go on tangents, as you see. But anyway, I was doing my homework. And this girl goes, And that was because I was reading an article and highlighting, you know, annotating. And this girl goes, Callie's over here just reading for nothing. And I go immediately, quick, no, I'm reading for school. But I think to myself, who reads for nothing? Like, everybody reads for some sort of insight, for some sort of information. Even if you're reading the stop sign, stop. You're reading because you need to know to stop. So I thought it was very funny. I did experience a lot of hate from a lot of girls. But now I'm 2 degrees strong, and I bet these girls are somewhere twiddling their thumbs, only having stripping to depend on, you know, and a lot of a lot of clubs are still closed due to COVID. So, you know, there is that. All right, moving right along. Somebody said, where do strippers hide their money? I see some hoes with lock boxes and some with clutches. Okay, y'all got to stop calling dancers hoes or thots. Not every stripper is promiscuous. Not every stripper is a hoe or a thot. It is just a job, okay? You wouldn't want me to refer you as the McDonald's worker, okay? Or the waitress at Chili's, you know? Or the phone market girl, you know, the bill collector girl. Like, you just call people, harass them all day about paying their bills. So I'm going to need y'all to be a little bit more nice. They are dancers. I mean, and a lot of them will get, I think I talked about this too on another Stripper Chronicles, but a lot of dancers, they will get offended that you call them a stripper. Like, I'm not a stripper. I'm an exotic dancer. I'm an entertainer. You know, like, yes, you're just making that ass clap, stripper. But ho and thought, like, come on now. Okay, but where do they hide their money? I mean, it just depends on the girls. Some girls hide it in their lockers. Yes. Some girls do have lock boxes. Where have I seen that? Maybe in New Orleans. I feel like in New Orleans, like, I've seen dancers with lock boxes, but it's not as popular. Like I said, different states, different rules. So I'm not really sure. It kind of depends on the strip club and on the girl. Some girls wear fishnets and high top socks and, you know, put their money in there. I carried a little handbag that like a clutch that went around my wrist. And so that's where I stored my money. I would do frequent locker drops, so I'm not just walking around with money, especially since I was quite the drinker. Oh my God, funny story. When I first started dancing, I used to smoke cigarettes. So I would put all my big bills in the plastic part of my cigarettes. Oh my God, my dumb ass, you know, would smoke a whole pack of cigarettes by the end of the night and throw this box away, just threw $500 away, or sit it down. Like, I'm like, some waitress probably felt that and was like elated. So don't hide it in there, but just dumb shit like that I would do. Okay. The last thing I want to discuss, and it's, listen, I can't make this up. Y'all message me, and I love it though, because it gives me, it's like I'm not talking to myself. Even when I'm not featuring a guest or a host of someone else's show, it's like y'all are joining in on the conversation. So please keep it going. But surprisingly, I get a lot of messages about how stripping compares to the movie The Players Club. Listen, y'all gotta stop watching TV, okay? I'll be right back with how stripping compares to The Players Club, or how it doesn't, you know? And actually, I'm gonna play one of my favorite DMX songs for this little break. Please take this time and go to Apple Podcasts and rate your girl right now. Rate me and start following me on Spotify as well. All right. Hey, yo.
Time for gun. I can't be-
Yes, sorry to cut y'all. I know y'all was into that song. Sorry to cut it off on the Leah part, but you know, we are mourning DMX respectfully. But yes, that's one of my favorite DMX songs featuring Aaliyah back in One Piece. All right, so following up, guys, welcome back to TR Tuesdays. Yes, somebody asked, how does the stripping experience compare to the movies, The Players Club? Oh my God, listen, guys, I ain't gonna lie. I watched The Players Club a million billion times. In fact, I think it's either on IMDb TV, one of them free apps, or Tubi TV. It's always on something. And I watched this thinking like, oh my God, this is how it is. You know, there are some similarities, I will say. For example, Diamond, if y'all haven't seen The Players Club, which you should have. If you haven't, do yourself a favor and go watch that right now. Okay, but anyway, the main character, Diamond, her story is very true, like Diamond, you know, or because it's a movie. She went to school and stripped after a couple years in it, you know, I think maybe even a year. She got it because she always wanted to go to school. But like the first year, she needed to, you know, get her babysitter and her life together. And she was like distracted by what stripping brings, you know, it brings nothing but distractions. But then after that, she stopped drinking and she went to school and she used stripping to pay for that. So, like, I did that. I know a lot of people that were in nursing programs. I had a friend that was in a cosmetology program to learn how to do eyelash extensions. But not everybody is going to school and using stripping to be debt free. But that part was true. Another part was true about how hounds can be males and females. Yes, you have different people preying on you, different people showing you the ropes, you know, and some, and actually not some, like everybody has ulterior motives, almost everybody in the stripping industry. So if a girl comes along and wants to show you how to become a better dancer, it's for her betterment, not yours, you know. How it doesn't compare. Okay, so I don't know. Like I say, strip clubs vary state to state, but I haven't been to a strip club where they are shooting up the strip club and they get to reopen the next week or the next night as if nothing has ever happened. That scene is hella funny where Bernie Mac, R.A.P. Bernie Mac, Bernie Mac's character, Dollar Bill, he like has some secret entrance way into the locker room through the walls. That doesn't exist. You know, there aren't no, like I say, in any of the clubs I've been through, you know, it's just normally about two ways in, two ways out, right? And then, yeah, they don't just let you fight like that viciously. They don't water down the drinks, like I say, at least the clubs that I've worked at. So I think it's funny that y'all compare, or not all y'all, but y'all think that the Players Club movie is similar to the real life world of stripping. Like that's hilarious to me. All right. So enough of these Instagram comments. If you'd like to collaborate with me about anything, cause I think I'm only going to do a couple more of these stripper chronicles, for you, because I do get a lot of messages about them, but please, if you want to hear about anything else, please feel free, like I say, to DM me directly on, Instagram. That's TR Christopher. Go ahead and start following me. Keep me updated. If you do cover art, I'm really getting into that. Please hit me up, especially if you're just, you know, up and coming, because I'm an up and coming podcaster. So it's like we could trade, you know. So as we continue to mourn DMX, don't forget that life is precious and childhood trauma is real. I'm familiar myself with the effects of a detrimental childhood and upbringing. So make sure you check on your strong friends too. Check out my latest podcast about trauma, or a previous podcast I did back when I started on depression and suicide. I hope that it brings you support. I hope that you hear me in your heart as well. I'd love to collaborate with you on a variety of these topics. And if you didn't know who Sidney Poitier, or you've never heard of him before this podcast, please go familiarize yourself with him, because every person needs to know who he is. He has literally been life-changing as far as the film industry has been concerned, and he has done activism as well. Y'all know I got a puppy. Clearly, that's all the time that I have for today. So Follow me and support me on Anchor and Spotify right now. Go comment and rate me on Apple Podcasts. Message me about your thoughts on life support. Message me about collaboration or any other topics you'd want to hear for today.
Listen, it's what you hear it, listen. X go give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X go deliver to you. Knock, knock.